Well, it's come to a time of hearing from God's Word. If you'd like a paper Bible to follow along, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will be able to provide you with a paper Bible. Today's reading will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll give you some time to open it on your devices. This is God's Word to us today. There is no need for me to write to you about the service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this manner should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He ends the reading of God's word.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear? Okay, I'm using my lapel mic
because I tend to move around a lot. Jeff has prayed for us, but I'd still like to pray again. If you don't mind, join with me. Father, you are God who's generous in more ways than we can ever imagine. Will you help us to understand that and help us to be a church that's also marked by that same generosity? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we talked about generosity. And while the presenting problem in 2 Corinthians, particularly chapters 8 and 9, is really about money and Paul coming to collect the money that the Corinthians had promised to give for the struggling Christians back in Jerusalem. Although the issue is really about money, really it's all about generosity. But that's actually a funny thing when you think about it. Because when you talk about money, invariably the big question on the mind is how to be financially wise. We want to think well about budgeting. We want to think well about investing rightly for the future, so to speak. And so it's very important that even say with young people, when they want to think about marriage, one big question on their mind is, are we financially secure? And so a lot of big decisions are delayed for that reason, that they want to wait till they are financially secure in order to even make that big decision. But the question which people don't often, the question that people are not often taught about when it comes to the question of money, is how to give money away. We often don't think about that question, do we? Very rarely do we think. So the question we want to put to us today is how to be generous. We want to answer the question when we think about money, not about how to invest wisely. I think that goes without saying. I think we just do it naturally. There's tons and tons of books and lots of people give you good advice about that. But I want to put before you the question, how to give money away generously. How to give money away generously. That's the big question we want to think about today. But then when you ask the question, how much do we give? Invariably the question is before tax or after tax. That was the question that I had to struggle with when I first started working in the tax office. Not only was a tax officer, I had to get asked the question before, after tax. That was a big question on my mind. And so invariably, even after last week's talk, the question was how much, right? But I want to say the question in the Bible is not so much how much, but how. Once you work out how, the question of how much really becomes quite secondary, if not trivial. Really, the big question on the table is how much. So here's the thing I want to talk for you to go away with thinking to. Let's talk about how, not so much how to save money, that will go without saying, but let's think about how to give money away, right? Now, as I said, the context is very clear. There was a massive worldwide famine throughout the whole Roman Empire. Everyone was suffering, not surprising. Also, the Christian church in Jerusalem, the mother church, was struggling. And there was a big call out to all the churches to support the mother church. The churches in Macedonia all rallied together. And other churches, like the church in Corinth, wanted to jump in and also support. As you can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, they had made a promise, but for some reason they were starting to back out. Now that's pretty bad because Paul had said to these guys, are so good, they promised such amount, now they're backing off. And Paul wants to say, what's the story here? Why are you backing off? Fulfill your promise. And his way of arguing is very interesting. So let's have a look at the key things that he wants to say. Firstly, being generous is actually good for you. Being generous is actually good for you. Have a look at the passage there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And so what's he actually saying here? He's using an example from nature itself that if you plant a little, what will you get back in return? A little. But if you plant richly or sow richly, what will you get? You'll get a massive harvest. Think about it. If you put down an apple seed in the ground, what will you get? You don't get an apple seed. You might get one apple tree. But if you had a whole bag of apple seeds and throw it out there, what would you get in return? You get a whole harvest, a whole clump of apple trees with massive, massive apples. There is a simple principle. You sow little, you reap little. You sow plenty, you will reap plenty in return. And so the point here that Paul wants to say is that what happens in nature also happens to in the whole area of generosity. If you are generous in small ways, you will reap very little in return. But if there's an abundance of generosity in what you do, you will reap an abundance. God will richly return that favor to you in ways that you cannot begin to imagine. In fact, you look at what it says there in that passage, and God is able to bless you, not the words, abundantly, in all things, at all times, all that you need, abounding. You can't. If you sow richly, if you sow generously, then God will just open the doors of heaven and pour on you blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. In fact, that is what God loves doing. God is a God who loves being generous. It is in his DNA. He can't get enough of being generous. There's a great saying I found on the internet this one not long ago. God is the greatest giver in the universe. And note this phrase. He won't let you outgive him. Funny thought, isn't it? That's the very nature of our God. God is the greatest giver in the universe. He won't let you outgive him. And again, you know, you can see this flowing throughout the whole of Scripture. But I was remembering the other day, and we're reading in the Old Testament during my quiet times, right? I come across 2 Samuel 7 about King David. Now, if you know your Old Testament, you know King David was the great king of the Old Testament, of the king of Israel. And after many years, David's finally settled down as a king. He's all the wars are over, everything's settled down. He is now established as a king. But the one thing he's still not happy about is there is no established temple for God. He's got his house set up, but there's nothing for God. He wants to do something good and great for God. He loves God. He wants to do something good and great for God. Let's pick up the dialogue here. When God hears about this, God sends a message to David. And this is what God says to David. Oops, hold it. I think I just lost my what's-her-name. Is my internet still going? Okay. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I've been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling." See what God is saying? You know, I've never lived in a tent. I've just moved around with you guys. You lived in tents. I lived in tents. You moved here. I was there, right? And then whenever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? God's saying, well, have I ever asked for a house, right? Now then, and note what this says here. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and I appointed you ruler over my people. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make you your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And he goes on to talk about what God's going to do. You hear what God is saying? You want to do something great for me? That's nice. Have I ever asked anything from you? No. But here's the thing. This is what I want to do for you. I want to make your name great. I want to establish your kingdom. I want to bless you. You see, here's the thing. We think the most biggest thing for us is what we can do for God. But God says, no. That's nice. But it's not about what you can do for me. The most important thing is, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What God wants more than anything else is to bless you. Why is that? Because God is the greatest giver in the universe. And he will not let anyone outgive him. His DNA is just all about generosity. Whatever you do for him is nothing, because he wants to do much more for you. That's just his nature. Have a look. So that's an important thing. See, that's why it's good. Generosity is good for you. Why is that? Because as you give, God wants to give so much more back. As you give more, he wants to even open the floodgates of heaven and bless you even more. That's why generosity is good. Because God just wants to bless those who are generous. But here's the thing about generosity. Being generous is a joyful decision not a pressured reaction. Look what God says. Look what Paul says. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generous will also reap generous. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Generosity is something not that you feel; it's something you choose. It's a decision that you choose, right? But notice what also, and it's not a reaction, not something you're pressured into. Notice what it says. If you should give what you have decided in your heart to give what? What does Paul say? Not reluctantly or under compulsion. You see, generosity is not something that you can pressure people to do. Okay, you can pressure people to give. That's easy. You can make them go on a guilt trip or whatever. You can pressure anyone to give. You can't pressure anyone to give generously. You can't do that with anyone. God is not interested in how much you give, but how you give. He's not pressured about how much you give, but how you give. And so, like I said, it's easy to pressure you to give. I'll just send you a massive guilt trip. That's not what the Bible's about. God says here, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. But he goes on to say more so. Because he says here, a cheerful giver. He says, much more so that you are to do it cheerfully. So it's not something you choose mechanically. It's not something you do reluctantly. It's something you do cheerfully. Cheerfully. Remember the 2 Corinthians situation? And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and the extreme poverty, what welled up in rich generosity. Welled up. One church had this motto: if you have given reluctantly, ask the usher for your money back and we will give it back. Now there's a good motto there. Because at the end of the day, it's not how much you give, it's how you give. It's not how much you give and how you give. You see, to give grudgingly or under pressure is to miss the whole point of the blessing. In fact, I'd say this, that you give grudgingly or reluctantly, you will not be blessed. Why is that? Because God loves those who give generously. And generously is not about how much, it's about the heart. Those who give lots of money but not generously, they're not going to get anything in return. Why is that? Because God loves what? A cheerful giver. And Steve's right to say that giving is not just a true decision and not done cheerfully. You might give lots of money to the church, and if it's done reluctantly under compulsion, can I tell you now, it's not a blessing to the church. There's no blessing to the church. But when you give generously, there is great blessing to the church. And you've got to ask the question, why does God love a cheerful giver? You know why? Because our God is a cheerful giver. It's because he himself gives not reluctantly or under compulsion, because he himself is a cheerful giver who delights, who is overexcited and joyful when he blesses people. And so it's not surprising he calls upon us to do that as well. Now, can I say this is really hard and requires a lot of thinking? Like I said, it's easy to give it under pressure. You don't have to do much. In fact, it's easy to give under pressure, just put the guilt trip out there. But we're called to do differently, aren't we? We're called to be able to think prayerfully about our giving. We're called to reflect on who God is. Because if you struggle with giving, this issue is not to pressure you in. The question then is, do you believe that God will be generous to me? Do you believe that giving is much better than just receiving? Do you believe that God himself is generous? And do you truly believe that it's something which is good for yourself? Generosity is good for you. But we're called, as I said, to be, to that decision, we need to be, make decisions that are joyful, not under compulsion. But what is the blessings of generosity? Because Paul talked about the blessings, that when you are blessed, so generously, God will enrich you generously. What is the blessing of generosity that comes to you? Well, we probably know of sort of people like Joel Osteen, that when you give a lot, God will make you rich, fill your banks, fill your homes with lots of goodies and so on like that, give you a fine home and good marriages and health, etc., etc. But it's so different to what the Bible says, because what does the Bible say? And God is able to bless you abundantly, what? So that all things in all times, having all need, you will abound, what? In every good work. What is Paul saying here? What is the blessing that God will bring to you? It is the blessing of being able to be generous and to bless others. That is the blessing that God gives you. Put it that way. If being generous is good to you, then what's the most obvious blessing? That God will give you more opportunities to be a blessing and to be generous to others. Because being generous is good for you. So if that's the case, then God wants to give you more opportunities to reap the blessings of being generous to others. He spells this out even more. Have a look at verse 10. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. It's sort of counterintuitive, isn't it? I want to be generous. I want God to enrich me. And we think to ourselves, my life will be filled with lots of these material things. But no, that's not how it works. God wants me to be generous, and he will fill my life with more opportunities to bless others. The blessing of generosity, the blessing which God gives you, is the opportunity to bless others. And note that word, on every occasion. It's a funny thing, every occasion. You see, this is the problem of selfishness. Selfishness fails to understand how life works. How so? If we believe in a God who is essentially generous, do you know how he creates the universe? We talk about the law of gravity, we talk about the law of thermodynamics, the law of whatever. But there is another law which we just don't get. It's called the law of generosity. The generous God has created a world that runs on this simple law. It's the law of generosity. That's why selfishness is actually a dehumanizing factor in this world. Selfishness destroys relationships. Selfishness destroys our creation. Selfishness turns people away from God, from the life that he wants to give them. But what does generosity do? Generosity builds relationships. Generosity builds communities. Generosity builds the world. Because at the very heart of a world that's created by a generous God is this simple law called the law of generosity. And therefore, what God does when he actually restores people, he restores people to what they are, should be, human. And the very heart of being human is this law known as generosity. Because that is how God operates. If God is a God who is generous, then he makes this world on the law of generosity. But notice this other thing that says here, right? Generosity, the blessings of generosity is to the praise it brings to God. In other words, when people look at you, you know what they do? They begin to see a God who is indeed generous. Have a look at this verse here. Overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is the overflow. But is also overflowing in many expressions of praise to God. Have a look in verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God. If you live a life that's always constantly grumbling and selfish, what does that teach about God? That he doesn't care about you. That he's not worth believing in because he won't give you anything. But if you believe in, but if your life is marked by generosity, constantly serving others, then what does that teach people about God? Wow, the God you believe in is so generous because you are like that. People see in you a picture of what the God that we should believe in is like. And so when people come in here, what will they see? What sort of God will they see? A God who's middle class? A God who's rich? A God who just, you know, is all about materialism? Or will they see a God who's actually marked by deep, deep generosity? And remember, we're not talking about just generosity in money. We're talking about generosity in the way we treat each other. We're talking about generosity in the way we think about each other. We're talking about the generosity in the way we act towards each other, the way we care for each other, and the way we speak to each other. But lastly, look at the foundation. The foundation for a generous God. Well, have a look what it says here. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others praise God for the, note this, the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Generosity is not an optional extra. It actually flows from our obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an outflow of the gospel. As we understand the gospel, as we understand the generous God and what God has done for us, supremely in the death of the Lord Jesus, how should that work itself out? In our generous character. This reminds us again, generosity is not necessarily a feeling. It is an obedience that comes from knowing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one thing we want to build in our church is this culture of generosity. We began last year by looking at this sort of generosity project, and it's timely that after a year, having 2 Corinthians, we're looking at the same passage again, only because it's so hard. But like I said, one of the hardest areas when we come to the subject of money is learning how to be generous. Is it any wonder that Jesus once said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to get them to heaven? So much easier. If we have truly understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has supreme done for us in his Son, then it should flow into every area, not least in the whole area of money. And that's why when we put up this sort of chart here, right, in the very beginning, right, yeah, there is a call for us to raise funds to support this church. But here's the funny thing. This is also an opportunity for you to be blessed. You may not think like that, is it? If we just think in terms of, oh, okay, it's an opportunity, we've got to raise more money for to support our church. But if we understand what Paul says in 2 Corinthians both 8 and 9, really, this is an opportunity to think about our own, how we can be generous, and indeed, how God can richly bless us as we seek to be generous. And you know, it is worthwhile thinking through this sort of statement, this sort of thing, because a lot of times we would do it ritually, habitually, without thinking about it. But there are times when you need to stop back and reassess, am I giving generously or not? Are there times when God has enriched me more than what I have? Should I be giving more? Again, you don't want to push people or pressure people. It's God, it comes out of flowing out of our understanding of the gospel. But there is a big challenge too, because when you think about it, if we're not giving, then you got to ask yourself, why am I not giving? Again, you don't want to pressure people with guilt, things like that. But maybe we've got to ask ourselves, do I truly understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I understand what God has given to me in His death? Remember what I said last week, that God gives the best to the least deserving. God is a God who loves to give generously, and we see this so supremely demonstrating the death of the Lord Jesus. He gives even to the least deserving. But I always ask an even bigger question. That if we want to grow in the Lord Jesus, which is one of the things that we aim our vision, being one community, growing Christ, then you can't help but also grow in generosity towards others. Thinking, in speaking, in acting, but also in giving, even financially. I put that to you. If we want to be a people who's growing in Christ, do you understand the generosity of God to you? Do you understand that being generous is actually good? When you give, is it done cheerfully, in a very decided way? And you understand that the greatest blessing of God's generosity to you is the opportunity for you to be generous to others. That is the way God blesses you. Growing in Christ means growing in generosity. Let me pray. Father in heaven, you are the greatest giver in the whole entire universe. And you created this universe with that one simple law, the law of generosity. You have built into our very DNA that law of generosity, but sin, Lord, has destroyed that law and made us selfish, self-centered, arrogant, using other people rather than serving other people. Father, will you grow us in the Lord Jesus, and will you grow in us that heart of generosity? In the same way that you have been generous to us, help us to be generous to others. And above all, Lord, help us to remember that it's not so much what we can do for you that's important. What's most important for you is how you want to continue to bless us with your goodness. And for that we give you thanks. And for that we want to praise your name. For that we want to marvel, and for that we want to proclaim to the world how generous you are to us supremely in your Son. Amen.